top 10 gateway games. All right, welcome back, guys.
Yay!
So, this is Ron.
Hello, Red.
I'm Jose.
We have a studio audience.
Yeah, dude.
All right.
So, we have another Katokayo.
So we'll just hide him in the name of Nathan.
Katokayo is Filipino for the same name.
Ah.
Nathan, introduce yourself.
So I'm Nathan. I'm a friend.
You made it sound so creepy.
And now I am here. Hooray!
Yay! Oh, welcome!
So he was just walking outside and I thought you weren't... Reg wouldn't be... arriving in time, and I just pulled him.
Yeah, we pulled up in a truck. And just
are you serious?
That made it creepy.
And now he's a friend.
Yeah, after all the candy.
Alright, so, like always.
Can we untie him now?
Later, after the show.
Ah, okay.
Alright, what did you guys recently play?
Oh, I'd like to share my experience. Reg taught me how to play Twilight.
Struggle. Yeah, we played this.
Really?
Yeah,
I sucked. I started out strong.
Started out pretty
but
strong.
But eventually, you know, like history, you know,
the
repeats itself.
So USSR.
USSR.
I remember your
crashed.
First game, TS,
yeah,
Ron.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Oh,
yeah.
But the game's really fun.
It is.
If,
I want to play it again.
If you're
know.
A fan of that era,
the
Cold War
yeah.
era,
history and
yeah.
mm. all of the subterfuge.
I sent Castro to space.
He
and the Pope.
and here is the funny thing. Here is the funny thing. He was a USSR.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I was a USSR. So I sent the Pope to space.
Wow.
That was valid.
That actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Spread the word.
Amen to that. You'll have more
yeah.
signal.
Now you know where Michael Jackson learned the moonwalk.
Oh,
exactly.
Cool.
From the book.
All right. Well, how about you, Reg?
Me? Well...
Time's up.
Time's up. Yeah. Time's up.
Okay.
It's kind of fun. And I was playing with five other strangers. They were like college kids, I guess.
Yeah, so what Time's Up is, it's a game that consists of three rounds. The first
mm-hmm.
round is taboo. The second round is
taboo
one meaning word taboo.
Basically taboo.
Yeah, you're...
It's a guessing game where you
guessing game and you can't say that specific word,
mm-hmm.
but you can say anything else.
Anything else.
Okay.
And the third round is charades.
Okay.
And you're just going through the same set of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And the white's fun is because you start to associate... words with certain actions that are just ridiculous.
Okay.
Like this.
He's waving his hand right now.
No.
Alright, how about you, Nathan?
The most recent game I played is Age of War.
Oh, nice.
Basically, it's a dice game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Pretty quick game, but yeah, it destroys relationships as well.
Wow.
Especially if you get that sound right.
Yeah.
Can I change my answer? The game I just played was actually Samurai Spirit.
Ah, yes.
Wow. With you, Ron. Oh, wait, we just played that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I actually won that game already. With my wife and son.
Oh, what are you saying? I'm not a samurai. Is that what you're saying?
We're not part of your samurai.
Yeah.
No.
Are we not part of your samurai seven, Ron? I think I make a pretty good whoever that guy was who turns into a wolf when he dies.
Yeah, mine turned into a pig.
Wild boar.
Wild boar.
Well, in relation to your Time's Up game earlier, I got to play Concept finally. And it's surprisingly good. I thought it's going to be boring and... really difficult. The concept is just like somewhat like Pictionary, but you're using meeples and tokens to point out on this board the concept that you're trying to convey. So for example, it's a phrase. I can put the main concept, for example, on phrase,
mm-hmm.
and then make a sub-concept, an icon that looks like a film,
mm-hmm.
and then I put the token on a male villain,
mm-hmm.
and then start to point at the phrase again.
Okay.
And then point to a kid.
Okay.
Now, so, or I can go like point to stars.
I didn't get any of this.
I can point to the stars, for example.
Okay.
And then there's a symbol there for battle.
Okay, so Star Wars.
Yes, and then point to the villain again.
Darth Vader.
All right, then point to the kid. Luke then back Skywalker. To the phrase.
Wait, what?
But I am your father.
There you go.
Ah.
Brilliant game. I like it. I'm not seeing any of it except in my mind. And suddenly.
There you go. See, so the iconography is really, really good. It's difficult because you think you can't find it. My son was lost when I was pointing again to another movie.
And how old is your son?
Just 11.
11 years
old. And I placed on the color icons, blue, red, and white.
Mm.
And he can't grasp it. So then,
I got one
out of
them, right?
Nowhere, so he was frustrated already. And then I saw on the board a shield icon. The moment I placed it on the shield icon, Avengers. just goes like... All right, so that is concept. Alright, cool. So...
Yeah, I'm sorry guys, I have a cold. I'm starting to get a cold.
Okay. Why are you pinching your nose? I'm kidding. He really does have a cold.
It's a bite.
The weather is really whacked nowadays. But the good thing is that what is up and cool right now is the fact that I got to talk to non-hardcore gamers that I was casually talking about, talking to in reference to business and other things. And they were actually aware and very... very into board gaming, even if they weren't in any of our groups. So that was very surprising to me. So I think there's sort of a counter check now to our original thesis that board gaming is sort of hidden or in the background in the Philippine industry. The way I see it now is that people are actually very aware. There's so many people who are interested in putting up their own board game cafes. They're popping up left and right. They are not aware of what games really work. I think that's where what's lacking with the industry. But in terms of the want, the desire, I think it's very popular now. So in that sense, what do you guys think? How about your friends? Do you have the same?
I have friends, who are surprisingly stumbled onto the board games themselves, and they're not part of any of the Facebook groups.
Yeah.
They don't follow any of these games. They just go to a board game stores. This market isn't visible. I don't think it's a shame, but it's a. Could be better if we had like a. A visible presence. There's the group of people who play board games.
But I think it's there. I mean,
it's there, but it's not seen. Like I said.
Yeah, it's not mainstream, but it's definitely more popular now.
It's someone did for me was play Twilight Struggle in the middle of a crowded Starbucks. That Starbucks in Greenbelt wasn't really into the Cold War. Smart into history, but not specifically the Cold War.
Okay.
And he's still, he's trying to get this game. And the most awesome thing about that is he didn't care about people staring.
Yeah.
We're just playing and just, engage in this activity. Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah, you could walk into a Starbucks and say, oh, some board games are out. That's cool. You're not disturbing anyone.
Yeah.
You just enjoy an activity. How is that different from, I don't know, loudly bantering about what happens with celebrities, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Or so, just working on your laptop.
With one cup of coffee that has dried. And it's stained already.
The name on the side has already faded out. you are. Buy at least two cups. Okay, guys. Do it for the business.
Okay, I will. Okay.
No, you bought a pot. So.
Alright. How about you, Nate? Very new to the hobby.
I'm relatively new.
How long have you...
I was introduced to a different level of board games around a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So actually my first game that was given to me as a gift was Game of Thrones.
Whoa. As a gift.
As a gift. So that was the sweetest thing that my girlfriend did.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Those are the type you should marry.
Yeah, Game of Thrones? It's like saying, hun, you don't need friends anymore. You have me now. Play this with them. Play this with your friends.
Let me be the Cersei.
Wait a minute. That would mean... Is your girlfriend a bro? Oh, no.
Pareo.
Cersei daw.
Yeah, so it was... Yeah, it was pretty hard at first, but eventually, if you were introduced to something that of a level at first,
uh-huh.
everything seems kind of easier
to
understand, especially
yeah,
uh-huh. when it's not really that time consuming as a game. So, yeah, but in regards to the community,
uh-huh.
yeah, a lot of people are more aware now as compared to. Let's say, yeah, or maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Because before I was introduced to this different kind of game, when you say board game, it's basically what? Checkers, Monopoly,
snakes and ladders.
Board game, literally, because it has a board in it.
There's that game that's sort of that weird steeple thing.
Is it
that,
life?
No. But
game
you have to reach to the end. You have to do it exactly. Otherwise, you start falling back, and you have to go around again.
It's chance. It's dice,
and it's dice. There's no decision making in it.
Yeah,
you're just following it.
It's like, emasculating. I can't do anything to prevent my fate. It's all predetermined by this
die.
Game
of
chance. I have a question, Donnie. Why did your wife? Girlfriend give you Game of Thrones specifically? Were you a fan?
I was a fan during that time. It was like
season one.
Yeah, not really
season two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was really popular, I guess. And then
she just thought.
Yeah, and then she heard from her friends that
board
games. Yeah.
Friends of her. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So
it's like she came from the States.
Mm-hmm.
She went to this bookstore. That's what's amazing. You can see the community there.
Mm-hmm.
Where their toy stores and their bookstores have so many
popular
modern board games. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. I hope will eventually happen here.
Yeah. In bookstore in Greening, Kulami, it's an abstract game, but recently featured by Z Garcia in Dice Tower, and it's there sitting beside it where the Monopolies and the game in general. But it's like.
There's
this a is a modern board game. This is it's you're putting marbles on these wooden tiles. So when you place a marble on a certain box, the your opponent can't play in that
row
and column.
Okay? Ah.
Now it's
I get it.
It's area control.
Yeah.
Because all of those wooden boxes sort of form this of different sized boxes and rectangles and squares. And they form this map, and you're putting marbles and trying to conquer more cubes and shapes compared to your opponent. But you follow that
certain
rules.
Well, that's.
I have a question though. How much does it cost?
I think it's around
1,400.
The marbles are wood. Really, really fantastic, heavy, hefty game.
So $1,400 or like. 10 Starbucks,
But most board games like the Samurai Spirit, the one we
how
just,
much is Samurai Spirit?
1,550.
And how much is Game of Thrones? I forget, like $3,000.
Around $3,000.
Oh, but that's
around $50.
$50.
But that's a lifetime of playing. All of these games are basically that. So you buy it once and you get to play it for the rest of your life.
Aha, that's another topic for another day.
Yes,
board games with expansions.
Oh yeah, we can do that.
And refreshes. Remember, this is the second edition.
Reprint something. They would often try to streamline it because of modern techniques that board game designers have discovered. And sort
not
of,
to mention the art. You have upgraded art. You have way
exactly.
grittier art. Have you seen the Westeros in his board game versus the Westeros in mine? Mine looks like anime Westeros, okay? His looks like, I don't know, Kurosawa.
In that sense. So all of you gamers out there, this is my recommended list of games that you should arm yourselves with.
Mm. Arm yourselves with. We're going with that metaphor. Not the fishing metaphor with the lure. Not the...
Equip yourselves with.
Equip yourselves
with. Equip yourselves
with. Not the soldiers of the board game.
Not the crack cocaine metaphor. Not the virus metaphor. Not the siege metaphor. But you have the handyman tool metaphor.
Yes.
To get your board game fixed.
Well, my number 10 is Jamaica.
What is Jamaica about? I'm sorry, it just sounds...
Jamaica.
The races. I'm sorry.
It's actually a very beautiful looking game.
Okay.
It's your pirates going around the Jamaican island, and you are searching for treasure and trying to be the first back to port.
Oh, so it's like a racing game. Then.
It is a racing game.
Ooh.
So the reason why I like this.
Are there guns?
Yep. You get to stock up on cannons. You need to have food rations as you
travel.
I want to
play it now.
You need to have the blooms.
Arr, where's my ship?
Because whenever you dock on a port, you have to pay.
Uh-huh.
So it actually feels like the proper Monopoly. It's because you roll two dice.
Okay.
And then you have these sort of action cards that are day and night.
Uh-huh.
So you as the captain of that round gets to choose the arrangement of those dice. The values. Which one is the value for day, which one will be the value for night.
Uh-huh.
Now you guys choose whatever action card you guys will use. So it could be... I will activate movement and then stock up on cannons. Reveal their chosen card and you follow with all the day actions first, then night actions. So it could be moving your ship. So you're racing along and you can find treasure.
Mm.
And you have to be the richest at the end.
The richest,
yes.
Not the
richest.
Fastest.
The fastest also gives you points because there's a part on the track if you end...
There
first, then you get 15 points, and as you are further behind, you get lesser and lesser points, and there's a cutoff point where you actually have minus points.
It's
a Euro game, but in essence, it's just like Monopoly where you move around, then oops, I have to pay, or I have to, if you don't have enough money to pay the port, though, you have to start moving back. So, but it works very well in family. Another similar game in that sense is Formula D,
that's a game I'm familiar with.
Yeah, it's
I played that once.
It's a racing game, again.
Can I explain this racing game?
Go.
So it's you're basically playing a track and you control a Formula One car
or a street racing car
with the funkier version. In the basic version, you're you choose which gear to shift in. You can shift up a gear or shift down two gears.
That's like the best gimmick of the game.
It is the only gimmick of the game, Halas. And the way you win is, one, you can win by becoming the fastest. So during turns, you have to shift at the lower gear. Because the higher your gear, the bigger your dice. So at six gears, something like a D20. So you can go from...
Yeah, so there's
different
one to
dice 20, right?
In the game
yeah.
Where you... The depending on the size of the die,
the
values you get
increase. Yeah, you can
know,
just get higher numbers.
Higher
the problem
numbers.
Is if you overshoot the turn, your car gets damaged.
Yeah.
If other cars in the front are there deliberately or not deliberately, you get damage.
Yeah. You get to roll the damage dice.
The damage dice. If you play safe though, you end up not getting damaged, but you end up being last. So it's a risk reward type thing.
Yep. But it is a roll and move game. Both of them are roll and move games. But you have control.
You have control, true. The problem, the little bit of problem I have with that game is, one, it's supposed to be a game about speed.
Uh-huh.
And
that's why you have the blue die for the sixth game.
Not that, but it takes so long to play.
This
is counting out the little grid thingies. I'm supposed to be fast. Why am I going click, click, click?
Yeah, and that is why I like Jamaica. You can
Jamaica
play
side.
That
feels
game within 30 minutes, and you're done. Even giving the instructions and teaching how to play the game. Really
and you can use pirate voices. How can that game
There you go.
How can that game lose?
Oh, I did forget to say, when you drop onto another space, onto a space,
occupied
that there's
space.
Another pirate.
Uh-huh. Boom, 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 broadsides.
You fight.
Dang.
And you roll, you now roll
winner,
this.
Winner.
This,
why is that number 10? Why is that number 10 lang?
You roll this fighting die, uh-huh, which has basic numbers, uh-huh, 2, 4, 6, 8, and
okay,
10. And it has a star.
Mm.
Or maybe just 2, 4, 6, 8, and a star. If
five
you get
sided
the
dice?
Six-sided.
So 2, 4, 6, 8, 10,
and a
star.
There you go. But if you get the star, then you auto-win. As a defender, star, if the person just rolled high, then you win. And if you win, you get to steal
gold,
their cargo.
Nice.
Their booty. Yeah.
So gold. What helps you? Do any cards help the die roll?
So when you get treasure, they
it's
can
like
give you points. Some can give you powers like an extra cargo space.
Ooh.
Some can actually increase your cannon power by 2.
Interesting.
Ooh.
It's a family pirate.
Ooh. So it's, pero the star there prevents you from, it's like you still have a 1 in 6 chance of
yes,
getting through, but even if you have this gold ship with big cannons going, oh,
because,
boom, boom, boom.
Because that's the purpose
star
of the cannons. You,
nothing.
So you stock up on cannons, and each cannon token that you have increases your attack value.
Attack value.
So, for example, you discarded 10 cannon tokens, then you have plus 10.
Gets a star automatically.
Then
you
wins, yes. So there, it
the
gives
power
it's
of the star.
Yeah,
yes,
the chance thing. Okay, right, let's move on. Moving on.
So number 9 in our list is Machikoro.
Oh, I want to explain this. All right,
cool.
Okay, so you guys are mayors of your own little town in
yep,
Japan, and you're trying to build up to get 4 monuments.
Okay.
Now these 4 monuments are the radio tower, the amusement park, the shopping mall, and the train station. Now the cool thing about Machikoro is that you think it's just a dice game, but it's actually not. It's more of a, how do you call this? Calculated risks.
Yep.
And it's really easy to teach. I can teach it in like 5 minutes and
mm-hmm,
people love the game.
So yeah, you have establishments. Unlike Monopoly, where 2 hours later, somebody actually lands there and
eventually
you get some payout. The genius that they did with Machikoro is that you
so
can...
So it's Japanese, right? It's Japanese.
It was... yes, it's a...
Yeah, it's
Japanese,
originally
Japanese. Yeah, it's a Japanese designer. You get to build establishments
uh-huh,
that has a die value on top. So
okay,
so you get to control now,
so it's
when
a village, a village.
Yes, you're building a town. So for example, you can build a wheat field and it triggers on a 1.
Okay.
Even on an opponent's
turn. Oh, unbelievable. This is like
Catan. Yes.
There
one
you go.
Steamer.
And that is why.
But you build it,
you build your own tableau, and it eventually can upgrade it to one of the monuments allows you to upgrade yourself to 2 dice. And now you're aiming for the larger establishments that can trigger bigger.
I want to play this game now.
It's like more of
a
Starship Catan.
Yeah.
It's more of like Starship Catan.
Yeah. The difficulty of well, the reason why Catan is showing a bit of its age is that
it's not applying nightly moisturizer. Right?
His wrinkles started to show up.
I'm kidding. This podcast, by the way, totally unrelated, brought to you by Neutrogena.
We're not getting paid, but our skin feels great.
Oh.
More of that later on our next podcast.
Okay. The reason why, because it doesn't provide sort of a general access for people
uh-huh,
to gain the chance of controlling their fate. So once players sort of cornered their way on those 6, 7, 8 spots in Settlers
yeah,
of Catan,
mm-hmm,
the rest are crap.
I see. So
because the odds are always going to be in their favor.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, but with Machikoro, then if somebody's shooting for the high numbers, you can decide to, okay, I'm just going to keep my... There's 3 types of establishments. You get a blue, which triggers even
okay,
an opponent's turn or your turn. Greens.
Oh, it happens
only
on your
during
turn?
Your turn.
Or reds.
Red.
Opponent's turn.
Opponent's turn, but then you steal money
you
from
steal
them.
Money
and
from
purple,
them,
only on your turn, but they're normally really powerful effects,
yeah, they're
but they're expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You can build a pure green
build.
build tech tree, and practically using one die, there's only two numbers you miss, or one number you miss on your die roll.
So
it, it always gives you
so it's a risk
revenue.
Reward thing.
Yeah, so you can build up to a point where you pretty much have control of how you're earning money, and you're now looking at other players, and how you can outrun their economy.
Interesting.
So that is
no hidden.
That's number nine.
Okay, yeah. Number nine. Number eight is snake oil.
Snake oil.
Yeah, snake oil.
Remember the game we played? Where
yeah,
we
I get it. Yeah. excuse me, but secret shoes are not.
Or the battleship.
Battleship.
I can top
something.
This. Remember when
battle
you
robot.
Were the millionaire
superhero.
Superhero.
Okay.
And I gave you the best product ever.
What was that? Oh my god! Oh my god! I was like, what are you giving me? Then Ron just pulls out, I give you a string
of
murders. Oh my god! I need a string of murders!
So, Batman need that!
My life's perverse! It's not Batman, it's more like Bane or something.
Is this what you want?
I was like, oh wow, that's
so
genius.
The cool thing about snake oil is that it can work with anyone. Super simple to teach. Don't be intimidated with the large box. The moment you remove the components,
it's like
it
half
fits.
One of the-
it fits on a cloth bag, as big as a love letter cloth bag. But in terms of replayability and the instant laughs and the clean laughs. That's kind of why I like it more than the popular Cards Against Humanity. I know it's a good game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that
a popular game.
There are other games that can give you cleaner fun.
Okay.
And there's even so in essence party games. I think it would fall under this section.
I highly recommend Illustrations. Now this game
we talked about it
this
is, previous episode.
Yeah, this is pretty much pass the message, but you're drawing stuff.
Yes, that's why I don't like it, but go on.
But yeah,
lack of skill.
The more bad the drawing you do, the more fun it gets.
Work in that environment where it's really about how people connect it in a string and how they think and how it's translated, and then it just becomes laughter and fun without you doing too much effort. That's why when my recommendation, Reg, do some weird
I
stuff.
I am losing figures, seriously, but my brain is too weird. People are thinking that's not the moon. That's like, you know, something else.
Cool.
Number seven.
So here I'd like to plug in some card drafting, because with new gamers, reading card mechanics is sort of beyond the normal skill set. You know, card play and how to sequence certain spells, it's just a little bit above what they're used to. They're normally used to playing Poseidon or some, you know, solitaire.
Where it's just numbers and symbols.
Where it's just numbers and symbols. And that's where these games actually shine. Sushi Go, Seven Wonders, it's basically just a bunch of symbols. You just have to explain them a little bit. Sushi Go has a little bit more cuteness advantage compared to Seven Wonders.
That has a more serious approach.
But in terms of its reach for new gamers, it's easy for them to grasp, but it's a ton of fun.
Sushi Go.
Alright, our number
six.
Number six
is...
Six.
This is a
favorite.
People would contest, though, that it's a difficult game.
I would disagree. I believe it's
Can
a
someone
game.
Describe first...
So, yeah, I think the simplest way to explain it, it's basically set collect, beginner mechanics that are easy to work with. In set collection, you're working or manipulating or trying to weave your way through a certain set of rules. And once you are following those rules, you are able to acquire cards to enhance your collection. And then you gain points of those collections.
Ticket to Ride. However.
But it,
just
it,
like Monopoly. If you buy like the whole corner.
It's like death.
But the thing with Ticket to Ride, and this is why I love how board games give you a simple set of rules. Oh, you can do three things. You can draw two cards, Or you can place trains, depending on the number of cards that you've collected, based on that color. Oh, really? That's it? Yeah. So how do you win? Well, if you are able to complete your routes, then you get X number of points. That's it. That is the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's Splendor. Oh, as you acquire cards, they have points. And whoever reaches 15 points, wins. Boom. So now, when they start playing, and that's where it becomes, oh, wow, this is kind of difficult. Because now you know how to play the game.
No, it becomes strategic. Because if someone's hoarding a color.
Uh-huh. And do you wait one more turn? Or do you do that now? Do you reserve it?
Yep. But it's beautiful. That's the strength of Splendor and Ticket to Ride.
And there's hardly any text on both games. Splendor has zero words.
Zero on
the board game.
Yeah. That's why my copy is a German one. Because it can work.
Also, that's why it doesn't say Splendor.
Okay.
All right, cool. Number five. Mm. So this is a series of card games that are very, very simple. In essence, there's like two types.
Is it number five? Okay, number five.
Yeah. Timeline or cards player has a certain set of cards and it's face down. They only see the art or the a little bit of the text, or actually in timeline it's a date.
It's a date.
They don't see the date, sorry. They see the event.
It's hidden. You know the title, or you know the event, or
the discovery, or the object. Beneath it is a number which you're trying to now establish in a line.
You're trying to build your own timeline.
Yep.
Now this is, they refer this to a pseudo-educational game,
mm-hmm.
where you're learning something, but it's not very useful.
It's not very useful, but it is interesting. For example, you have the basic one, which is, let's say, dinosaurs, something a billion years ago. I don't know, a million years ago.
Discovered man's best friend.
Yeah, and you realize that the Aztec Empire was still existing in World War One, for example. Something.
And the reason why I like this type of games is it, again, works wonders, mm-hmm. because I plop it on the table and then you go...
Especially the music and cinema one, where everyone can relate.
Well, for historical ones, so if you have grandmothers or uncles... Then you plop down, oh, World War II. Yeah, I know that. I was there.
Yeah. Then your grandfather starts crying. Sorry na lolo.
I had so many friends. Yeah, I had a girlfriend there once.
you plop down Guantanamo Bay. Starts crying. Or I know Willy Wonka.
So, but that's the thing. I mean, you have that in your tool
collection.
Set. Yeah. The other type in that would be no thanks. And
yeah,
or
that's
sale.
What she says. What?
So,
oh, sorry.
No thanks is a reverse bidding game. Now,
yeah,
I love this game because you're trying to get the lowest points while maintaining a certain amount of chips.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Basically, these, and the other one is for sale. Can someone explain that?
So you're normally, when I explain this to non-gamers, oh, this is a card game version of Monopoly. Of course, I'm lying, but that's how I can hook them. Where you're gonna be buying
or
properties. You're gonna be buying properties at the start of the game, and the next phase, we're gonna be selling them.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, just like Monopoly.
Sure.
To an extent.
So how do you buy the properties? Oh, we got a bid. You have to stay in the bid if you want to be able to get the highest one. But if you're okay, you get the lowest one. Oh, okay. And that's cool. And then, boom. So now on the selling part, they're going, all right, so how do we sell these properties? Well, these are the offers currently in the market. Plop down what properties you guys want to sell. And they just instantly get it. I've played this with street children in He Cares.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Of course, I had to tell them, you're not bidding. This is not betting. I had to really make sure you're buying properties. You're investing. I had to reinforce the property.
For your future kids.
Yeah.
Cool.
Moving on.
All right.
Number four. We're almost there, guys.
Is Dixit.
Oh, my God. Dixit. Well, I would say Dixit. It's a number one game for a reason for a while.
Yep.
Because it's, I believe, I would describe it as an art appreciation game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, could you tell us more, Reg?
Okay, it's a storytelling deck of a personal private deck of five beautifully
drawn and painted.
Drawn, painted, sort of, how do you describe it?
Slightly
weird, quirky, dreamlike cards.
Yes.
Randomly thought of cards.
Yeah.
with really unique elements all over the place. Just
And one every round, there's a one designated storyteller, and the storyteller role revolves around. And the storyteller's goal is secretly put one of his or her cards face down, and then tell a story. And the goal is only some of the other players
should get it.
So if everyone gets it, he or she gets penalized. If no one gets it, the story was too vague, too unclear, and no points again. And to make things interesting, each other player also puts one of their cards down after the person has told their story, just to confuse.
Yes.
To confuse the other players. For every other person who chooses that card, the non-storyteller card, they also get points.
Yeah.
Meaning their chosen card kind of fit the story.
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes it's even more
suited.
Suited.
And
it's you see the horror in the storyteller.
You tell their story,
I know. I screwed up.
Yeah. So it promotes
and you can,
creativity.
You can make different clues.
You can see
people dance.
Just note, everyone, don't play this with a stranger.
Because you need a point of
reference.
You can do that, but you now need to sort of gauge how you can send the message.
Me and Ron, we were just boom, I oversold it one time, actually.
I remember
playing this one time. And this guy was a friend's... And him and his friends... Odd person, I only know that one guy. And they were all friends, the show.
Yep.
Addicts. So, it was his turn. It was his last turn. And he ends up telling a friend's reference. And everyone, of course, got it. And I did not.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this show where Joey goes blank? That one. That was his clue. And I'm like, oh, crap. So, what I did was when he put down his card... And everyone put down their card, right? And one by one, they're showing the cards. And I look at everyone's eyes instead.
Yep.
And the moment everyone goes, oh, okay, that one. And the guy ends up going, everyone got it. How could you get it, Reg?
I was there.
It's hard to hide the little squeak you give when you see the cards.
Why did you just
strategy
teach
is...
how to break the game, though?
Oh, sorry. I just watched there.
Regardless whether you use game mechanics like that, it's still a definitely fun game.
Mm.
Our number three is actually most of the card games in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Love Letter, the
self-contained card.
Yep,
all the letters out there.
Mm. Yeah, Batman, Love Letter,
Batman.
Wedding.
Yeah.
Hobbit, and there's a wedding thing. But regardless, it works
because
it's super simple. Anyone can play it. You can even take two love letters, stick it together, and now play up to 8 players.
And the best part is, it's a game that fits in your pocket.
Yes.
And your budget. It's like $10.
Mm-hmm. $10, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number two is Forbidden Island.
No, Forbidden Desert.
Forbidden Desert.
Forbidden Desert.
Really?
You were about to explain what
Forbidden Island
is.
Forbidden Island and Forbidden Desert are cooperative games.
Extremely cooperative.
You have different roles. You're trying to survive this either sinking island or be a desert that's sort of being covered with a sandstorm, and you're trying to search for treasure.
In Forbidden Island, you're searching for treasure because you're treasure hunters, and the island suddenly sinks.
Yep.
While in Forbidden Desert, you're a bunch of archaeologists where your ship just crashed.
Yeah. Yep.
And
ship just crashed.
It's a flying ship.
It's a helicopter.
Ah, okay.
It's a helicopter.
An airship.
So since you're all scholars, you all know of this mythical ship scattered around this area.
Yep.
Ah.
Now, I like Forbidden Desert over Forbidden Island because it's a lot more forgiving over Forbidden Island.
What I don't like about it is it's a little bit more fiddly in terms of the stuff that you have
to move around.
As the person who has not played either.
So regardless of Forbidden Island, Forbidden Desert, you have a bunch of locations. And you open up a card, and that location, something happens to that location. So either it would sink or it would have more sand on top of it.
Okay.
So if you're in Forbidden Desert, you have to clear out the sand to be able to search in that
you're
location.
You're trying to excavate areas.
If you're in Forbidden Island, you're trying to collect a certain number of cards, and if you're at the right space in that island, you can grab that treasure.
And the weird thing is you sandbag the area so that you prevent it from sinking.
Ooh. Yeah, you're using high-tech sandbag technology that lifts
lifts up the room, or it sucks up the water and turns it into clouds.
But anyway, point is, number two is basically
why is it number two?
It's number two because it's friendly, it's easy to pick up, and it's very cooperative. I mean,
is it cooperative in the
sense that if one guy dies, you lose.
Okay,
so that's how cooperative.
Fair
is.
Enough.
Okay, and our number one is
Woohoo.
Which is two games in the list.
So much for number one.
All right. Well, you can. My number one is Bananagrams.
Okay.
It's a better version of Scrabble. You get to have your own crossword that you're working with. You grab tiles from a common pool, and when you finish putting all your tiles together into the different words, you shout peel. And everyone now needs to quickly grab a new tile, and they have to add it to their crossword. You can remodel your crossword in any which way so that you can fit the new tile. And you keep doing that until whoever finishes first in terms of the last tile placed. It definitely plays faster than Scrabble, and it's easy to explain. And it's really, really portable. I played that in Bicol while waiting for the bus.
On someone's back.
No. We were in this really sweaty food canteen area, waiting area, and the bus was leaving in maybe 2 hours. It plays up to 6 on the basic one, but there's a large pack, which is the double pack, goes up to 12. But that's crazy already.
Yeah, okay. That kind of feels solitaire-ish. Can you play it solitaire?
It does have certain rules for solitaire.
Okay.
But I think it's called
reading a dictionary.
How do you win? Points?
No, you have to be the first one. So outfield, and there's nothing left on the board. And if you're able to place your tile first, you win. So you're racing. But the cool thing about it compared to normal Scrabble is that in normal Scrabble you get paid big points if you know really complex and long words. This game can balance it so that even kids who just knows 3-4 letter words can just focus on making 3-4 letter words all throughout. If they can play
so
faster.
Scrabble version 2.
Yeah, Scrabble, it's easier Scrabble.
Yeah.
Without the complicated scoring system.
I think I'd like King of Tokyo, New York, my suggestion better.
Okay.
Reason that it's a game which just involves you being a monster, an epic monster, and you're just basically killing each other, kind of knocking each other out by being King of Tokyo or New York. And you get to upgrade your monster. Each one has this unique characteristic. And you get to evolve superpowers, you get to destroy buildings, you get to sabotage other monsters, getting other monsters to go, hey, you know that Mecha Godzilla, he's gonna win soon. Use your psychic rays. Yeah, but you know, you have wings, I just want to demolish everything. And King Kong just goes, everyone dies, I win. See?
Well, I disagree with you both. I think my number one would be Kaiju.
Explain.
Now, Kaiju, for all of you who don't know Kaiju is a simple game from Taiwan. Now, it comes in a really, really neat package, and it's a cute monster. So you guys are monsters trying to fight to be the last one standing.
Just like King of Tokyo.
Just like
a
King of Tokyo, but the mechanics is different. Each player will take turns rolling their die.
It's one large
Black die.
That sounds dangerous.
No, it's because it's childish. It's rounded. So
okay.
No corners.
But is it like heavy wood?
No, it's really light.
Yeah.
Ah.
So what you do is you do the action set on the die. Now these actions are physical. Hop. It's one action makes you stand up and roar.
Roar.
So the other one,
you gotta be freaking.
No, I'm not. So the other one is you have to give someone a double high five.
What if no one gives you back in return? Then
yeah. So the cool thing about this game is it comes with a body crayon. So it's basically
a wound marker.
Because each monster has six wounds.
Lipstick that
are but we kind of had a twist on it. The game says just mark yourself on the wrist. We marked ourselves on the faces. So you see some
unibrows.
You see some people walking out of the store with like a big portrait on it on their forehead.
No, I kinda wanna play.
The cool thing about the game is that it's active and people love to watch it. And and people were like, I wanna try it.
Is it a six sided die then talaga?
It's a six sided die.
Six I know consequences.
So yeah, that's my
I don't get it though. How do you knock out another monster by
you're the last one to do the action stated on the die, you get a wound.
You get written on.
So if you get six wounds.
So suddenly it's my turn. Everyone gets up and roll. All of us look roar.
Yes.
You were last.
Exactly. So that's why it's fun.
Well in that sense I will add to that Haligali because that's actually how the kids in the street center that we played in, they used the kaiju pen and played Haligali. Whenever the opponent
what's Haligali?
It's the fruit
just a fruit counting game.
It has
as you flip and if you reach five total, exactly five
of one fruit,
uh-huh. Then you have to ring a bell.
Uh-huh.
So there's this nice, you know,
bell.
Get it, concierge's bell.
There you go. And whoever does that first,
it's like bit.
Yeah. Ooh. So you grab the points and you get the run. Well, that's not part of the rules, but what they
why
do is
not?
That they get the right on everyone's face.
Okay.
All right. So you want to add your
number one?
Our studio audience.
Yay!
Yay! Yeah, studio audience. You have a fan base.
You're number one. In our
my number one would, I think I'd have to agree with King of Tokyo.
Ooh, or New York. Have you tried New York? I haven't then.
New York is better than Tokyo, though.
Yeah. Basically because it appeals to
the kids.
People. Yeah, kids.
But yeah, but I noticed, bro. I've noticed aliens also like it, not just people.
Oh, I remember.
Sorry.
So fun. If you don't get the reference,
listen
to the
last
pilot
episode.
No, the first one.
The pilot.
Basically, just the graphics. Yeah, it gets the attention of people.
Yeah.
The box itself.
Oh, it's a revolutionary
beautiful looking
dice game.
Yeah.
It's using a very simple and old mechanic, Yahtzee, where you get to roll the dice three times. Keep or re-roll. And the dice faces have different effects.
So you get points, energy, or damage others.
Yeah, so it's
correct?
Extremely simple. You can teach it really fast. So, yep.
And it has all our favorite monsters. Not Godzilla, not King Kong, not Mechagodzilla. Uh-huh. It's avoiding that. You know what I'm talking about.
Copyright.
Being unique.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. All right. So I guess this is a quite a long episode.
Yeah. I hope everyone related or could visit your local stores to find some of these games are available locally.
We specifically tried to make sure that we chose the games that are at least
locally
available,
easy
in distribution. And I hope you guys enjoyed that episode.
Now, if you think that you have a game in mind that you want to share, hit the comments.
Yeah. Yeah. And also. Stay tuned for the next episode because in the next episode we will be playing. We're inviting this really cool
game
author designer, who designed this unique role playing game.
And his name is Jay Hello. I'm not kidding.
And he will be run role playing game for us.
Yay!
In a very unique name. But you guys have to check that out in the next episode.
Yeah, we're role-playing, guys.
That sounds badass, man. Badass.
Yeah. All right, see you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, yeah, by the way, thanks, Nathan.
That was really awkward.